This coming Thursday, our nation is going to pause for what Abraham Lincoln designated in 1863 as an annual day of thanksgiving to the Most High God. And you know, this annual day of thanksgiving, it's certainly one of those nice cultural customs that we have here in our country that kind of brings our nation to a halt, even if it is for just a few hours on that day. And to remind this country of all the many blessings that we do have, those blessings that we ought to be offering thanks unto the Most High God for, just as Abraham Lincoln and others intended in those early days. What's kind of sad, though, is that as America has become more and more secular throughout the years, Thanksgiving has kind of lost many of those spiritual overtones, that idea that being thankfulness unto the Most High God. In fact, once that Thanksgiving Thursday ends, Black Friday begins, and then of course the Christmas rush, the shopping season, and all the things that come along with that begin. That spirit of thanksgiving is very quickly tossed outside the window. But for Christians, hopefully we realize that the fourth Thursday in November really should be no different than every other day on the calendar. We understand that this idea of giving thanks and being grateful unto God, that that's to be a daily, an hourly, in every moment of our life practice, not just an annual one. Because, you know, there's not a day that goes by that we don't have something to thank God for, whether it's just life itself, whether it's health, whether it's food, whether it's our clothes, whether it's our homes, our families, our jobs, our automobiles, our freedoms, etc., etc. The list goes on. As we sang in that song, Count Your Many Blessings, we could be counting those all day long. You know, those, of course, the things I just mentioned are just really just physical blessings. You know, we can't even begin to thank God enough for all those spiritual blessings as well. We think about the Bible. We think about that avenue of prayer that our brother led us in earlier today. Or we think about the church. We think about our brothers and sisters in the Lord. We think about the hope and the joy and the peace that we have as children of God. We think about the great salvation that's been offered and has been made possible by the sending of Jesus to this earth and dying for our sins. The list could go on and on and on. Words can never fully express the depth of gratitude that we owe unto our God. And neither really can even our actions fully express the depth of gratitude that we owe Him. That is, there's nothing that we could ever say or anything that we could ever do that could ever fully repay God for all that He's done for us. But you know, even though we can't give thanks enough to God for all of those blessings, God still expects us to do it. God still expects us to be thankful. We can't say thank you enough, and there's not enough good deeds that we can outwardly do to show our thanksgiving enough, but God still expects us to do it. God still expects us to be grateful individuals. Which is why I believe Luke, there in Luke chapter 17, records for us the story of the 10 lepers who were restored in verses 11 through 19 of this chapter. Because here in this brief encounter, we read about a group of men who should have been grateful. They should have been extremely thankful. But instead, they've become kind of the poster boys for what it means to be an ingrate. If you would, just notice the text with me there in Luke 17, beginning in verse 11. It says, "And it came to pass that as he went," this is talking about Jesus here, "as he went to Jerusalem, that he passed through the midst of Samaria and Galilee. And as he entered into a certain village, there met him 10 men that were lepers, which stood afar off. And they lifted up their voice and said, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said unto them, Go show yourselves unto the priests. And it came to pass that as they went, they were cleansed. And one of them, when he saw that he was healed, he turned back and with a loud voice glorified God. And he fell down on his face at his feet, giving him thanks, and he was a Samaritan. Jesus answering said, Were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? There are not found that return to give glory to God, save this stranger. And he said unto him, Arise, go thy way, thy faith hath made thee whole." So we have here in this story, we have 10 men who are suffering the most dreaded disease, one of the most dreaded diseases of that time, that of course being leprosy. Leprosy, of course, was a contagious disease. If a man had leprosy, his body, his clothes, and his house, those were all things that were considered unclean. And as a result, lepers were kept separate from the rest of society. They didn't want to have an epidemic to break out. Nobody wanted to be around lepers, as you can imagine. There was a great social stigma that was associated with being a leper. In fact, the only company that a leper could keep was with other lepers. And that's why we see these 10 men. They've kind of gathered and formed their own little colony, if you will. But these 10 men, at least they had their minds going in the right direction. They came to the one person that they knew could do something about their physical woes and ailments. They came to Jesus. And what did Jesus do? Well, I want you to notice that Jesus did not say anything out of the ordinary to them. Didn't say some kind of big hocus-pocus magic spell to them. In fact, Jesus does not even touch them. He does not lay hands upon them in any kind of way. In fact, Jesus doesn't even ask them to do anything that is spectacular or out of the ordinary. Jesus tells them quite simply, you go show yourselves to the priests. And of course, that would have been a fulfillment of the law of Moses that lepers were to do. It's a fairly simple remedy for a very awful, awful disease. And as sure as Jesus said to do this, what happened? The Bible says that these men were healed as they came to the priest. Now the real focus of the story really comes to the forefront when only one out of those 10 men returns to thank Jesus. And really you can almost hear the disappointment in Jesus' voice there in verse 17 when Jesus asked the question, were there not 10 cleansed? But where are the 9? Is Jesus' question. Where are the 9? That is a good question. Where are the 9? All 10 of them were suffering greatly, we read that. And Jesus healed all 10 of them, we read that. So why don't we read of all 10 of them coming back to give thanks? I don't know where the 9 were. I don't know where they went. I really don't know what was going on inside their heads. But you know, I can guess. I can use my imagination a little bit. In fact, I can put myself into their shoes and think about many of the reasons why I don't give thanks unto God. And I can come to some conclusions as to why they maybe didn't give thanks unto the Lord as they ought to. There were 9 men that did not return. And what I want to do this morning is see if we can't hunt down these 9 lepers. See if we can't get some answers from these 9 fellows. I want to address 9 possible excuses that they may have used for not coming back and thanking the Master. And I want us to look at this for ourselves. Not just for these 9 guys, but for us. Look at our own lives and wonder if maybe we're not being ungrateful as these men were. And I think you'll see that these are excuses that we so commonly and regularly use even today. I want to tell you up front, not a one of these are valid excuses for not thanking the Lord. So let's just go on a scavenger hunt, if you will. Let's try to track down these 9 guys. Let's see what kind of responses they would give when we asked them the question, leper, why didn't you return and give thanks to the Master? Well, leper number one, what's he got to say? Leper number one says, well, Lord knows that I'm thankful. I don't have to actually say it now, do I? You know, I think that kind of sounds like us an awful lot. I think this may be one of the more common excuses that we would give today for not being thankful and offering thanksgiving unto the Lord. In fact, it actually sounds kind of reasonable. In fact, the very first part of that statement is actually true. And that is that God does know whenever we're thankful. Over in Acts chapter 15 and in verse 8. In Acts chapter 15 and in verse 8, the Apostle Peter was the one speaking here. In Acts chapter 15 and verse 8, Peter says there that God knoweth the hearts. God does know. God already knows what's going on inside of us before we ever even utter a single word. God knows when we're thankful. And by that same token, God knows when we're not thankful. There's really no mystery as to how we feel about anything as far as God's concerned. But guess what? God still expects us to be thankful. God still expects us to tell Him when we are thankful. And we can't just excuse ourselves thinking, well, He already knows. No, we've got to tell Him. We've got to show Him. There in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Hebrew writer says, by Him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to His name. Did you notice there that the command was not to feel glad about your blessings, or not to be happy about your blessings, or to just merely be content with your blessings? Notice, Hebrew writer says to actually give thanks with your lips. You know, it doesn't make us feel good whenever others fail to say thank you, maybe after we've done something nice or good for them, does it? No, of course not. You know, it bothers us. It makes us feel slighted if somebody doesn't say thank you when we do something for them. At the very least, we often say, I'd like to at least be told thank you. Same with God. God wants to hear that from us. He wants to see that in our lives. We need to give thanks to the Lord, not just excuse ourselves and say, well, I don't have to actually say it. But how about leper number two? Leper number two, why didn't you return and give thanks to the Master after you were restored? Well, leper number two says, well, you know, come to think of it, I was getting better anyway. You know, my leprosy was kind of starting to dwindle down. It wasn't so bad, so my sores were starting to heal up. You know, I think it was kind of working its way out of my system. If any of us maybe used that excuse before for not immediately thanking God, maybe think about maybe after we overcame an illness ourselves, or maybe after we got through some kind of a surgery or a medical procedure. You know, we're quick to pray to God to help us in getting better. And we oftentimes, just as even was this morning, we took the time to pray for those that are sick. I imagine we do that at practically every assembly, those that are of our number, and even those that we may not even know. And certainly we know that our health is something that is good to pray for. It's worth praying for. We read there in James chapter 5. James chapter 5, there in verses 13 through 15, James talks about there that the one who is sick or the one who is afflicted, that they ought to pray. In fact, in those verses, three times at least, James encourages us to be praying as it pertains to our health. And of course, God is the provider of good health, and God ought to be beseeched whenever our health is poor. But you know, whenever that sick bug is gone, or maybe whenever we make it through that surgery or procedure or whatever it might be, how many times do we simply say, it's just one of those things. You know, it just happens. It was eventually going to work its way out of my system on its own. That was just Mother Nature's way of doing things. You know, you just chalk that up to a really good immune system on my part. As a result, whenever we look at things in that kind of terms, what happens is we usually fail to thank God afterwards, don't we? We fail in giving Him the credit for having a hand, a big hand, in our recovery. I can't help but think, though, about what Paul said in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6. In Philippians chapter 4 and verse 6, Paul tells us there that this prayer for good health or prayer for whatever it might be when we are offering our supplications to the Lord, that it ought to go hand in hand with the giving of thanks whenever it's granted. In Philippians 4 and verse 6, Paul says, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, there's that idea of asking God for good health or asking God for whatever it is. But he says, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. Notice how those two things go together. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. My friends, if we're going to ask for God's help, whatever it might be, whether it be for our health, just like the lepers were asking for, or whatever it is we're beseeching God for, we need to thank Him for it whenever it happens, whenever He responds, whenever He answers those prayers, because He deserves the credit, not us, or not some other kind of third party. God deserves the credit for it. How about leper number three? Leper number three, why didn't you return and give thanks to the Master after you were restored? Well, leper number three says, well, you know, I was the one who went. I'm the one that actually went to the priest. You know, Jesus didn't do anything. He didn't put His hands on me. He didn't really even say anything out of the ordinary. He's the one that told me to do something. I had to go do it. Does this sound like any of us? You know, some folks have just a really hard time acknowledging that God had anything to do with the nice clothes on their back, or the new car that they're driving. You know, I'm the one that worked for that new car. You know, I'm the one that saved up all my money so that I could buy this new suit. I'm the one who did that. I'm the one who put in the work. You know, what did God really do? I'll tell you what God did. God's the one who put all that stuff here. God's the one who made it possible for all those nice things to exist. Furthermore, God's the one who gave you the opportunity and the ability and the health and the strength and all of those things that are necessary for you to be able to do those things. You think about what James chapter 1 and verse 17 says. In James 1 and verse 17, James says, every good gift and every perfect gift, seems like that really covers a lot of ground there. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, and it cometh down from the Father of lights. And my friends, that includes every spiritual blessing as well as every material blessing that we could talk about. It was put here by God, and God's the one who deserves the credit for it. You know, we might at least have a point to some degree, and that is that maybe we were the one who kind of did the work, if you will. Maybe we were the one who saved up the money, or we're the ones who put forth the effort to attain those types of things, especially if it's something of a physical nature. But I can't help but think about what Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 20 says. Ephesians 3 and verse 20 tells us that the credit still goes to God. In Ephesians 3:20, Paul says there, now unto Him, as unto the Lord, who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Notice this. According to the power that worketh in us, unto Him be the glory. Do you notice what that says there? That God is able to accomplish His work many times and His plans and His purposes through us. In us. God's able to answer our prayers according to the power that worketh in us. God uses us many times to answer our own prayers. And many times, at least to our eyes and to other human eyes, it may look like we're the ones doing all the work. But in reality, it is God who's endowing us with the ability to work and to accomplish all of those wonderful things. My friends, God is the one who is to be thanked because He's the one who makes all of that possible. How about labor number four, though? What was his excuse for not returning back and thanking the master? Well, labor number four says, well, you know, none of the other nine guys, none of them came back. None of them came back and gave thanks. The other eight out of the nine, you know, none of them came back and gave thanks to the master. Why should I? You know what? That would be exactly true. None of the other nine did come back. None of the other nine had any consideration for Jesus either. But really, you know what that says to me? It just says to me that the rest of the nine, they needed to repent as well. You know, just because none of the other nine gave thanks, that's no excuse for the one. And you know, I think we as Christians today, we so often will invoke this excuse as well, especially I think particularly when it comes to the idea of maybe giving thanks before a meal. You know, how often do we find ourselves maybe eating with a crowd at a restaurant, maybe we're sitting in an entire group of strangers, or we're in some kind of a gathering or party setting, and we look around and, well, nobody else is giving thanks. Especially if you go out to a public place. It's very likely, if you're the one sitting in the restaurant, it's very likely you're going to be the only person at that time that's going to give thanks. You may be the only person that visits that establishment all day long who would give thanks. And so many times we just refuse, well, I'm not going to pause and give thanks because, well, I don't want to stick out. I don't want to be embarrassed. I don't want to call attention to myself. I want you to take a look at the Apostle Paul there in Acts chapter 27. In Acts chapter 27 and in verse 35, whenever Paul and some others, they were on a ship that was sailing for Crete, I want you to notice whether this idea of thanking God, if Paul was shy about that at all. Especially this idea of giving thanks before a meal. Then in Acts chapter 27 and in verse 35, it says, and when he had thus spoken after Paul had got done speaking, he took bread and he gave thanks to God, notice this, in the presence of them all. And when he had broken it, he began to eat. You might be wondering, well, how many people are we talking about here? Paul doing this in front of? Drop on down to verse 37. We're told that Paul did this in front of 276 other folks. And I don't even know how many of those were even Christians. Paul wasn't shy. Paul wasn't embarrassed. Paul wasn't timid in any kind of way to give thanks just because nobody else might have been doing it. Now, brethren, we may very well be the only person in that restaurant giving thanks. In fact, we might be the only person at our family dinner table that pauses to give thanks. But before that very first bite of food goes into our mouths, we better be thanking the one who provided it, just as we pointed out in that last point. It's God who provides that thing. And it's something that needs to be a habit, not just something that we just do maybe when we invite the preacher over for dinner, or not just when we're out with our brothers and sisters at that restaurant. It ought to be a regular practice. Think about what Paul said about this idea of the food that God has put here on this earth and the creatures that God has placed here for us to eat and to sustain us. In 1 Timothy 4 and verse 4, Paul wrote there, every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused. But notice this, if, there's that conditional term, if it is received with thanksgiving. If it says to me, that if you don't have the decency to thank God for the simple food that's on your plate, you don't deserve to eat. You don't have the right to eat. We need to realize that many times we are going to be the only ones. We're going to stick out like that sore thumb. We might be the only one when everybody else is refusing to, but we're going to at least be that one who's going to be thankful unto the Lord. How about leper number five, though? Leper, why didn't you return back and give thanks to the Master? Well, leper number five, well, you know, he says, you know that Samaritan guy, the one who came back? Well, he gave thanks for the rest of us. You know, he was really just expressing the sentiments that all of us share. He kind of did the work for us. Does that sound like any of us? You might not think so, but actually it does. Because every Sunday, just as we have already this morning, we'll have a man who will lead this entire congregation in prayer. He'll lead the minds and the hearts of all of us in prayer. And without fail, that man, just as Glenn has done this morning for us, he'll thank God for many of those things, many of those material blessings, our food, our clothes, our shelter, our freedoms, etc. And he'll thank God for the spiritual blessings, such as our brothers and sisters, and salvation, and the forgiveness of sins, and all of those things. And that is wonderful, and that is a good thing. In fact, the idea that we have one person leading our minds in prayer, that helps to keep our worship decent and in order, as the Bible tells us to. We don't want everybody praying out loud at the same time, everybody praying for different things. It would cause commotion, it would cause chaos. Certainly, as Glenn has done this morning, he's helped direct our minds in some of those things that we all have in common that we can all be thankful for. But let me ask you, how often do maybe we neglect our own personal thanksgivings for many of those things? How often do we fail to thank God for a lot of those other blessings that weren't specifically mentioned in the prayer at the assembly? And we just think that, well, Glenn's prayer for us this morning, well, that's good enough for me. That ought to get me through to next Sunday when we do this again. How many times have we maybe just sat back and we've just listened to those prayers that are offered instead of praying along with the one who is leading us, thinking that, well, he's giving thanks for us? My friend, somebody else can't do it for us. You know, this concept of giving thanks as it's found within the Scriptures is one of an individual responsibility. I think about the subject of singing. Many times we talk about the subject of singing. It's one of those acts of worship we are engaged in. Think about Ephesians 5:19. Think about Colossians 3:16. Those are a couple of verses that immediately come to mind. And we read those verses and we see that singing is an individual responsibility. We are to do that individually. Each one is to sing and to make melody in our hearts. But would you notice there in the very next verse in each of those passages, over in Ephesians chapter 5 and in verse 20, would you see that this idea of thanksgiving, that it's also spoke of in that exact same way, that it is an individual responsibility. There in Ephesians chapter 5, if you notice there in verse 20, Paul says, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Over there in Colossians chapter 3, we often read verse 16, talking about singing, what an individual responsibility that is. But notice verse 17, Paul says, and whatsoever you do, you individually, what you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. I read those verses and many others just like it, and I come to the realization that your thanksgiving does not fulfill my obligation to be thankful. And vice versa, mine does it for you. In fact, there are many things that you might have to be thankful for that I don't. You know, Todd, he has a wife to be thankful for. He has children to be thankful for. I don't. I don't have a wife. I don't have kids. So Todd can't expect me to be thankful for those things and I'm just going to do it for him. No, Todd has to be individually thankful for each of those individual blessings. Friends, it is something that is an individual responsibility, and we each need to be doing it each and every day. How about leper number six, though? Leper number six, why didn't you return to give thanks unto the Master when you were restored? Well, leper number six was, well, you know, really, when you stop and think about it, you know, the priest is the one who did the healing. You hear that? You know, Jesus said to go and show ourselves to the priest, so it really seems as if the power and if the magic, well, that must have been in the priest's hands. At least in some sense, this would have been correct. You think about the old law there in Leviticus chapter 14. The old law required that someone who had leprosy, that they were to go and show themselves to the priest. And they were to follow all the steps that are talked about there in Leviticus 14 in the first 9 verses or so. But you know, the priest was merely the agent through whom God was working. You know, it wasn't the priest who was to get the credit afterward, was it? You know, it wasn't the priest who was to have sacrifices offered unto him afterward, was it? No. It was God who was to receive the thanksgiving. God was to receive the credit. God was to receive those sacrifices. In fact, in the remaining verses there in Leviticus chapter 14, if you continue on reading there, verses 10 through 32, the leper who was cured, he was to offer praise and honor and sacrifice and thanksgiving before the Lord. 9 times that term before the Lord pops up. Why is that? Because the Lord is the one who did the healing. The Lord's the one who deserved the credit. Now let's bring this point forward to the present day. How many of us, maybe we've battled through an illness, or some kind of sickness, or we underwent surgery, or maybe we required doctor's care in some form or fashion, and once we were nursed back to health, well, we were quick to praise that doctor. Boy, you've got to go see Dr. So-and-so. Man, he is just the finest doctor in town. He's just awesome. He got me back on my feet in no time at all. Or maybe we're quick to give thanks for, man, they just got all kinds of good medicine these days. All kinds of awesome technology and these surgeries they're able to do. Man, you just ought to be thankful for modern science and the things that they're able to do. As a result, we're thankful for all of those kinds of things, those peripheral things. In the midst of all that, we forget to thank the one who really did the healing, which would have been God. Think about what Paul said in that wonderful sermon there on Mars Hill in Acts 17 and verse 28. And talking about the Lord God, Paul said, "For in Him, that is in the Lord, in Him we live and we move and we have our very being." My friends, it is because of God that we exist. It is because of God that we can even breathe. It is because of God that we're able to do anything. And without Him, all the doctors in the world and all the breakthroughs in modern medicine in the world couldn't keep us alive. We've got to have the Lord. We ought to be thankful unto Him every single day. We need to be showing the thanksgiving to the one who truly deserves the credit for it. How about leper number 7, though? Leper number 7, why didn't you return and give thanks to the Master? Well, leper 7 says, well, you know, He's the Lord. That's who we went to. And see, the Lord, it's His job to take care of people. Isn't that what the Lord does? And certainly in a sense, that would be true. God is the one who takes care of us. We've kind of pointed that out all throughout this lesson. God is the one who sustains our life. He is the one who heals all our wounds. He's the one who puts the food on the table. He's the one who comforts us when we need that. Think about what Peter said in 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. In 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3, Peter writes that God hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. God's done that for us. Everything that is of a physical nature and everything that is of a spiritual nature, God is the provider. But you know, just because that's one of the job descriptions, if you will, that comes along with being the Lord, one of the ideas that comes along with being the Master and the Creator of the universe, that's not an excuse for us to refuse to thank Him for it. You know, when you go through the drive-thru at a restaurant, you generally, when you hand the money to that clerk and she hands you the food, you generally will say thank you to that person, won't you? Well, why? She's just doing her job, isn't she? All right, our house is on fire and the fire squad comes in and they put the flames out and you're able to have your house saved before it's totally burned out, or maybe they rescue some family member out of the house. You're quick to say thank you. Thank you, fire person. Thank you for saving my house and thank you for saving the life of this person. Well, why would you do that? They're just doing their job, aren't they? You know, my friends, I think we have that same mindset many times towards the Lord. That just because God is operating the same today as He did yesterday, as He's going to tomorrow if the world continues to stand, that doesn't mean that the Lord is any less worthy of our thanksgiving. In fact, one of the things that we often forget is that not only is God the one who provides all things, but with the snap of a finger, God can take them away. Think about what Job said. Job had to learn that lesson the hard way. In Job chapter 1 and verse 21, Job said, "Naked came I out of my mother's womb, and naked shall I return thither. The Lord giveth." Yes, the Lord does give. That is one of those things that comes along with being the Lord. "But the Lord also taketh away. Blessed be the name of the Lord." You know, we take so much for granted in this life. And many times it's not until that something or that someone has been taken away, it's not till then that many times we realize how thankful we should have been and how much more thankful we're going to be from that day forward. My friends, the Lord expects us to be thankful now so that we don't regret it later for not being thankful. How about leper number 8? Leper number 8, why didn't you return and give thanks to the Master? Well, leper 8 says, well, come to think of it, this healing, it really wasn't what I was expecting. You know, sure, my leprosy is gone, all my sores are cleared up, all that stuff, that's taken care of, but I do still kind of have a little bit of a nagging cough as well. Not only that, but all my friends, they don't want to hang around me anymore. They think I still might be contagious. And not to mention, I lost my job when I got this leprosy stuff, so now I don't even have a job. The Lord didn't give me a job back. And my family, well, they've been suffering greatly. You know, think about them as well. You know, I was really expecting a whole lot more out of this deal whenever I ask the Lord for His help. You know, I'm not going to be thankful for a so-so shoddy kind of job here. And I think oftentimes we're that way. You know, we'll often ask God for help in various areas of life. We say, "Lord, I really need Your help on that big test tomorrow. I've got a big exam coming up and I just need Your help getting through that." Or, Lord, I've got a big job interview. It's really important. I really could use some help there. That way I say and do the right things. Or, Lord, I really need your help to get that new automobile. Man, I need me a new car. Won't you help me with that? Seems like we ask God for anything and everything our heart desires. We read a verse like Mark chapter 11 and verse 24 that tells us, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you will receive them and you shall have them. Well, all right, I'm down with that. That sounds like a great deal. Just soon, we're just always going to get whatever it is that we ask for from the Lord. But I would say that very few of us, if any of us in this room right now, have ever gotten exactly what we prayed for all of the time. But you know, regardless of whether we got exactly what we prayed for, or whether we got part of what we prayed for, or whether we got something completely different from what we prayed for and asked for, we better be thankful. We better be thankful that the Lord would even take the time to listen. Because, my friends, if God is going to take the time to listen, if He's going to take the time to respond to His children, whether we like His answer or whether we don't, we have an obligation to give Him thanks nonetheless. At the very least, He deserves that thank you. Think about what Paul said in 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18. In 1 Thessalonians 5 and verse 18, Paul says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. Notice Paul says, in everything. That means whether you got what you expected or whether you got what you wanted, we ought to give thanks in everything. Really, God knows what's best for us anyway. God's always going to give us what we need before we get what we want. And for that, we need to be thankful that the Lord is looking out for our interests. How about leper number 9, though? Leper number 9, why didn't you turn back and give thanks unto the Master when you were healed? Well, leper number 9 says, I'm just too busy right now. I'll thank Him later. You know, I've been afflicted with this leprosy for weeks or months. You know, I've been out of commission for a long time. I got a lot of stuff that I need to do. I need to get back and see my family. I need to find me a job. And I got all kinds of things I need to be doing. I'll get around to that Thanksgiving when I get a chance. And I think that this really might be one of the biggest reasons, one of the biggest problems that we have with Thanksgiving. We just can't seem to find the time to do it. You know, we're awfully busy. We just live in a very busy kind of world. And we stop and think, you know, I know I ought to be giving thanks for this meal, but man, I got to eat and run. I got places I got to go. Or I know I ought to stop and give thanks for seeing this brand new day that God's allowed me to live. But you know, I'm going to be late for work. I don't have time to stop and give thanks at my bed before I even get up. I got to go. I'm going to be late. Or I know that at the end of the day, I ought to be thankful unto God that He carried me safely through yet another day. Boy, I'm just too sleepy. I really got to get in the bed. We put it off, and we put it off, and we put it off, and as a result, we never get around to properly doing it. I think about what the writer of Proverbs said in Proverbs chapter 3. In Proverbs chapter 3, the wise man there tells us that we are to render unto others what is due them right now. That is, when we have the ability and we have the opportunity, we are to render others what they are due. In Proverbs chapter 3, in verses 27 and 28, the writer says, withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. You know, it's wrong for us to tell our neighbors, hey, you come back tomorrow, and I'll pay you back what I owe you then, if we have it in our hands right now to do it. Same thing goes with God and this idea of thanksgiving. It is wrong for us to tell God, well, Lord, come back tomorrow, or come back next Sunday when I get back into this groove of church and this idea of worshiping, and I'll be in a thankful mood then. Come back to me then, and I'll give you all those thanksgivings that you're due. No. If God deserves to be thanked now, and He does, we need to be taking the time to thank Him. Now, think about Paul in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, Paul, one of the things he was immensely thankful for was for the great faith and for the love of the brethren there and the church at Ephesus. In verse 15, Paul talks about just how thankful he was for each and every one of those individuals. Did Paul wait? Did he wait around and give thanks for his brethren maybe at some later time? Did he wait until he'd accumulated a big long list of stuff to be thankful for and then give thanks unto the Lord for that? No. In verse 16, Paul says that he ceased not to give thanks for those brethren. Paul was thanking the Lord for them regularly, continually, at every opportunity that he had. And I would imagine that if Paul felt like he was too busy to do that, that he made time to thank the Lord. We need to be thanking the Lord now for what He's given us, because we might not have an opportunity to do that tomorrow. We might end up meeting the Lord in an ungrateful manner, in an ungrateful attitude in our lives, and we don't want that. You know, whatever the excuse might have been for those nine lepers, there's really only one response that would have been appropriate when Jesus healed them from their leprosy. There's really only one thing that should have been coming from their mouths after they were healed. And in fact, it is the one response that the Samaritan leper had gave. That is that when he came back to the Lord and fell down before Him, he said, "Thank you, Lord. To God be the glory. I am much obliged." And personally, I've always been very favorable to this term, "much obliged," as opposed to just a regular old thank you. You might be asking, why? We don't hear that term, "much obliged," as much anymore. Maybe you watch an old television show or something, and you might hear that term spouted every now and then. But I really like that term, "much obliged," because not only does it show gratitude and gratefulness for something being done, but it also shows an obligation to someone else. It shows an indebtedness to the one who we are saying it to. It's saying, "I owe you something. It is, you deserve something in return from me for what you've done." And my friends, whenever we talk about the Lord, when we talk about being much obliged to God, what we are saying is, "Lord, I am forever indebted to you." And why is that? Why is it that we are forever indebted unto the Lord? I think 1 Corinthians 15 and verse 57 really kind of summarizes up everything that we could ever be thankful for in this one neat little nutshell. In 1 Corinthians 15, 57, Paul writes, "Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." We are thankful, we are indebted unto the Lord, most of all, above everything, because He has given us the victory over sin, the victory over death. It's been made possible through the sending of Jesus Christ to this earth and dying for our sins. And we better be telling the Lord how thankful we are for that sacrifice of His Son. We better be telling Him daily just how thankful we are for that forgiveness of sins. Telling Him how thankful we are for the idea of being in heaven with Him for all of eternity. We better be telling Him daily just how thankful we are for all of life's blessings. And you know, beyond that, I believe we better be showing the Lord just how thankful we are. Whether we show Him that in our worship, whether we show Him in that by telling others about Him and His Word and the Gospel, whether it is by giving back to God of our time or our energy or of our money, or just by putting the Lord first, we better be telling and we better be showing the Lord just how grateful we are. And the Lord has done so much for us, and the very least that we can do for Him is to be a people who are thankful, a people who are grateful, just like this Samaritan person was. We're not afraid to tell it and we're not afraid to show it. We need to lay aside all these kinds of flimsy excuses that we've talked about this morning, and certainly many others we could probably talk about. We need to develop an attitude, a lifestyle of gratitude towards our loving and merciful God. And in fact, when I think about that Samaritan who came back and gave thanks unto the Master, really wasn't he the one who received the greatest blessing of all? He got to have an up-close, personal interaction with the Savior. That's something that the other nine didn't get to have. He received the greatest blessing of all, and so can we. And I'm not so sure that we're going to see those nine cleansed lepers in heaven someday. I don't know. You know, their ingratitude may end up keeping them from entering into the pearly gates. We'll have to find out someday. But if there's one here this morning who has never become a child of God, you can begin showing your gratitude unto the Lord by obeying the blessed gospel of Jesus Christ this very hour. And really, I can think of no better way to say thank you unto the Lord than by obeying His commands and becoming a Christian this very hour. God's plan of salvation is being extended to you at this time. If you've heard the good news of Jesus Christ, you believe it with all of your heart, if you're willing to repent of your sins and confess with your mouth that Jesus Christ is Lord, if you'll be baptized in water, you can become a Christian this very hour. All your past sins can be forgiven. You can begin walking in newness of life. And if you remain faithful until death, being that kind of a grateful individual that we ought to be as children of God, heaven can be your home in the after while. If there's one here this morning who got started on that way, if you've not been grateful as you ought to be, and as a result it's caused you to wander off into sin and those things that are wrong, God does provide a second law of pardon. You need to repent. You need to pray God that He'll forgive you. And if you need to call upon your brethren to pray with you and for you, we'd be more than glad to do that as well. If there's anyone here this morning that's subject to the invitation of Jesus Christ, we're going to sing this song to your encouragement. All you need to do is come forward and let us know what we can do. Won't you come while we stand and while we sing?